When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tonight's Chicago's night. For the first time all year, the Bulls have won three games in a row, and they snap a five-game losing streak in this series, 117-108.
Yeah.
Look out, Joe Mazzulla. Oh, he's talking to Justin Van Dyne, who teed him and Jaylen Brown up in the fourth quarter.
Oh, Joe's got to be careful because they could suspend him in the next game.
What a nut. Man, like, what an absolute psycho. A year ago, I feel like we'd all be, really be piling on him.
Now we're
making
like, hell yeah, Joe, get
now
him.
Now we're like, go get him, Joe!
Go kill him!
Go get him!
Rip his leg off! You know Joe wants to do some jujitsu stuff to that guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He literally screamed, no, F you, come here, F you. Yeah, that was the quote.
And he was doing like one of these.
He said, come get some.
Yeah, come get some. Yeah, like
and
waving him over.
Was just like,
yeah, I'm out.
That ref is such a loser, though.
Yeah.
I'm on Joe's side, but he was running real hot. He's not in the holiday spirit at all.
Well,
he wanted to fight the ref.
Did you hear him after the game?
He was wishing him a happy holidays.
Okay, can we hear that? Here's Mazzulla. What was he saying to the refs after the game?
I just hadn't seen them in a while, so just a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I wasn't sure I was going to see them before the holiday, and I just can't let a moment go by to where you wish someone, just the best, to them and theirs and their families.
Can I just tell,
he's a lunatic.
A year ago, I would have ripped that so hard. Now I'm such a, it makes me a giant fraud, I guess, but no. I'm like, I kind of like it now.
He won a title.
A year ago, I'd be like, what a joke, a clown, this guy's trash, fire him. Now I'm like, good for you, Joe.
Way to go, Joe.
Yeah, go get him.
Well, Jones' heart grew five.
Yeah, I'd love to hold myself accountable on this, but I kind of like it now. I would have hated that a year ago.
But he was also going after a ref, who are subhuman entities as it is. So like, we're obviously on Joe's side. But yeah, no, that fourth quarter just got away from him. Like, the Bulls were doing a good job hanging around. Like, they were always in the game. And then the fourth quarter, they just like fell apart. Like, their defense fell apart. Then they got all like pissy, and they had like multiple technical fouls. You're like, what is happening here? And then they just slipped it away.
Yeah. Well, Jaylen was pretty critical of the refs after the game, weaponizing their whistle or whatever he said. And it's like, all right, guys, you don't lose a ton of games.
They should still be able to beat the Bulls, even if all the calls go against them.
This is where I will be consistent. Like, right, do you think you lost because of the refs last night?
Yeah.
Or you lost because of your trash-ass shot selection, and you lost because you took the Bulls lightly? They've already lost as many games at home this year as they did all of last year?
It's crazy.
Last year, they were 37-4 at the Garden. They're now 11-4.
I guess they weren't
at the Garden.
Jungle level.
No.
Sound meter.
I guess not. So, like, I'm not going to blame the refs for the loss, but Joe wants to go after the refs. Fine with me. A year ago, I ripped him. Now I'm like, good.
Do you blame Sam Cassell for getting in the way? Should you just let him go and see what happens?
He wasn't in the way for long.
No, it's true.
Joe elbowed him out of there real quick.
Yeah. What would he have done?
Unleash him.
I would love to see, in all these times where people get held back, like, what would actually happen
if you weren't held back? Do you think Sam Cassell really held him back?
He was in his way.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there's a lot of guys in the way.
But
in
if
the
you
NBA,
just like clearly, think, if you clearly get out of the way, you like, all right, buddy,
Keith,
you got to decide. Keith, do you want to rip that guy's throat
Keith,
out?
Or Mazzulla put like a pinky on him and he went flying out of the way last night. So I don't think Cassell could hold Mazzulla back.
All right.
If Mazzulla did not want to be held back.
But like really steer clear. Stand back. Like, put your hands up. Like, go get him, Joe.
Ole.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Because if you're Cassell, you're like, if this guy fights a ref, he might get suspended for a while. Now, I'm the head coach. Now, I take over the
Good
Celtics.
Point. Good point.
That's what he should have done.
You don't think he's getting suspended, right?
No,
oh, yeah, there
I don't.
I don't either. Getting fined.
He didn't make contact with the ref. That's where you get suspended.
If he got suspended, that'd be ridiculous. You want to fine him? Go ahead. Whatever. A couple of hams.
couple hands.
Some PS5s.
Yeah, more like a PS5. It's the NBA. These guys make real money.
Yeah, like 100 PS5s.
He'll put that aside.
Yeah.
He probably has anyway.
I kind of, not to go back to the Red Sox for a moment,
he is a loon, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I kind of want to react how Mazzulla did with the refs with that Red Sox signing for Patrick Sandoval.
You want to go fight Craig Breslow?
I kind of.
Hey! Get over here!
Hey, you!
Hey! Merry Christmas.
So they spent $11 million on Chapman. They've spent another $9 million a year on this guy who's not even going to pitch.
They haven't spent any money.
Because he did have a good World Baseball Classic.
Basically, they spent as much money on Chris Sale to win the Cy Young for the Braves as they did on Chapman and Sandoval.
So if you're just tuning in.
They haven't spent money.
No. If you're just tuning in, they haven't spent any money.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Crochet has not spent money until they hand him an extension.
They probably saved money when you take away some of the guys that are free agents.
It's a great point.
Sale contract.
It's a great point. They had $70 million in space before they got to the luxury tax, the CBT.
Yeah, they're not going to.
They've spent on a 1-year deal with Chapman and a glorified 1-year deal on this guy. He's not going to pitch till late in the year.
They're interested in Sasaki, though.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen. I feel good about that. And so if you're just tuning in again, the Red Sox have signed another Sandoval because one wasn't enough.
They got a good track record with Sandoval.
Another P. Sandoval.
Yeah.
Pablo the first time did not go so well.
P. Sandoval.
P. Sandoval.
Yep.
Patrick Sandoval is now who they have. Oh, that's a good image.
On Twitch and YouTube, Brian has concocted a John Henry holding piles of cash.
Now, I got to be honest.
Not AI generated.
I'm guessing it's a look at his fingers.
That's tough.
Would you rule out that that's real?
Yes.
Just him holding a bunch of money. Would you rule that out? I wouldn't rule that out.
If you were a billionaire, would you just have tons of cash lying around and like just?
So he doesn't. John Henry doesn't have six fingers.
No, that guy.
Are
does.
There six?
Well,
because one of those tucked
his
up.
Right hand.
Something doesn't
his
look
middle,
like
middle finger.
Yeah, something doesn't look right with that right hand. Yeah, that's true. Whatever. Would I rule out that John Henry has pictures of him holding buttloads of cash? I would not.
He's got ET fingers, but. What are you going to do?
Look at that thing.
Where's that one headed?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would assume a thumb. That's six.
Look out, ladies.
How do you think you got these billions? But yeah, I would probably just have like tubs of money lying around.
Yeah.
You can't trust the banks.
No, definitely.
You got to have cash.
So if you want to fight the Red Sox, similar to Joe Mazzulla, you can. I'm with you, though, on the... last night is not about the refs. Like, as funny as that was, Mazzulla going after him.
They missed every shot they took. It was the season low, and not just from three. From the field, they were under 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And then from three, they were 25%. We knew going in it was going to be a three-point parade, and it was. You know, these are the two teams that shoot the most threes in the NBA, and they did. They both shot over 50 threes. Zach LaVine hit more of his shots. The Bulls just seemed to be like more aggressive. I know it's kind of cliche, but they just did seem to be like more engaged in the game. Like, as simple as that, they got more open shots too. The Celtics defense, the Bulls would either hit a three or they would take it to the basket and the Celtics would like get out of the way and they'd like dunk or lay it in. It was pretty frustrating to watch in the fourth quarter.
So you mentioned the three-point attempts, right? Because the Celtics shot miserably from three last night.
Yeah.
But the total attempts, the Celtics were 14 out of 56.
Yeah.
The Bulls were 19 for 52.
Yeah.
Okay.
100, was that 108?
So add that up. That's 108 three-point attempts on 191 field goals. 57% of the field goal attempts in last night's game.
Yeah.
57% mm-hmm. were threes. And people want to tell me there's not a stylistic issue in the NBA.
No, and again, these are the extremes, but other teams play like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it's becoming less and less extreme. I mean, these are the teams that shoot it the most in the NBA.
It was funny. Was it
50%, almost 60%, 57.
Yeah.
Of the attempts in the game were from beyond the arc. That's
chuck it.
Ridiculous.
Was it 2 years ago? I feel like every time I watched a game, whether it was a Celtics game or a out of market game, they would announce on the broadcast, new team record for threes made.
Yep.
New team record for threes attempted. Like every single game, it felt like teams were taking more and more and more, and they're like really putting it to the limit.
I mean, I would wager
at some point.
I don't know if you can wager on this. I would wager on the Celtics setting the 3-point record this year, meaning in a game, they already tied it once this year. They almost set it on opening night. They've already been knocking on the door for it for a couple of different times. I'd wager on them setting the 3-point record this year. Most threes made in a game. I bet they're going to do it. They shoot more than any team in history. They're going to do it. I heard on the broadcast last night they're the fastest team to hit 500 as a team in the season. So I'd wager on that. You're going to have broken records left and right. You already do see it night in and night out in the NBA.
I think I've talked about this on different shows before, but Were you familiar with the Division III school? I think it's called Redlands.
Oh, well, I know.
We're way ahead of the curve.
All they do is shoot threes?
Only threes.
They'd, like, grab offensive rebounds under the hoop and, like, threes. Pass it back out?
They won't shoot twos. I know. They've been doing it for years.
Is it in Iowa?
Maybe. It's, like, in the middle of the country somewhere. Okay. Maybe Texas, maybe Iowa, somewhere in there. But they would only shoot threes. They were doing this for years and years and years. They would do, like, they would full court press, and they would do, like line changes.
Yeah, they'd have like
so everybody
15
was
guys
fresh.
On the team, and they just run
all, and
line
all they
changes.
Did was shoot threes, and like that was their style of play.
Is it Grinnell College?
Oh, maybe it's Grinnell. Maybe I don't know why I thought it was Redlands. Yeah,
Grinnell,
I think it is Grinnell.
Grinnell College attempted 111 threes in a single game against Emmaus Bible College.
Grinnell. Yeah, okay, it's Grinnell.
They made 40 threes on 111 attempts in a game.
I remember even all the, back when we were in high school, talking to a friend of mine, being like, "It'd be kind of fun to go there, wouldn't it?" Just like all you do, you don't even play defense, just shoot threes, just run up and down, shoot threes. I'm like, yeah. Well, that'd be a good place to go.
Yeah, and then go sit for a line
take a
change
break
and then
like,
come back out.
Get my
like
little Gatorade.
Like these lazy hockey players who only play a quarter of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Play the whole game.
Yeah. So you go back. Marshall team a couple years ago with D'Antoni's kid took like 80 threes in the tournament.
Yeah, so like D'Antoni is another good example. They weren't all threes. I'm talking about Mike D'Antoni, but they were like they were up in the pace and like they were a team that sort of like pushed
eight,
the envelope.
The 8 second or less like, Phoenix Suns. Yeah.
At some point, isn't this the direction it's going in? Like they already did it. This Grinnell school has been doing it for years. But like Joe Mazzulla must look at that and be like, yeah, they're not far off. Like that might be a good way to play.
Right? Mazzulla.
I think
like,
he's kind of liking
he's
it.
He's like up late when he's not watching the town. He's up late watching like Grinnell College highlights.
He's like, throw an alley oop. They're like, no, throw it back out. like, do not.
That's
want
one
it.
Of their design plays.
If it's not a three,
they run an alley oop and a kick out. And they're like, yeah, we got you. We sucked in the defense for the alley oop. Wide open three.
100%.
I was reading our guy B Rob last night at Mass Live. Brian Robb says that Boston misfired on 13 of their first 16 three-point attempts in the first quarter. They shot just 25% from downtown in the first half, tying a new season low with six makes over the first 24 minutes. That's a season low. Six threes in the first half, a season low,
right.
Which should tell you something. The Bulls, by the way, coming into last night in like five games, hadn't allowed a team to hit double-digit threes. The Celtics hit 6.5. That's their season low.
Oh, my God.
Celtics overcame these shooting woes by attacking the rim and the lackluster Bulls defense more as the half wore on. They shot 60% from two in the first half while piling up a 28-18 edge in points in the paint. So basically, they weren't shooting well from three. They started shooting more twos. They got back in the game. They led at halftime. I think it was 57-54. The interior scoring enabled them to build a slim halftime lead despite the rough perimeter shooting. However, Boston's subpar shooting continued in the second half while the Bulls heated up, leading to a stunning loss. So this is my issue with it. You don't have it from three that night. And Joe Mazzulla and perhaps Brad Stevens and the whole Celtics organization agree with this. They all feel the same way. When we don't have it, the answer is keep shooting. Because
more. Shoot out of it.
Yeah, shoot your way out of it. Shoot. The law of averages will level out, and we're going to start to make them. Instead of, hey, we got back into the game and took the lead because we had an advantage in the paint. And we started shooting closer to the rim and taking the ball to the rim. I think that's why they lost last night. Shot selection. And the Bulls are another team that, in some ways, they're not as talented, but stylistically on offense, they play a similar style of basketball. Everything is from beyond the arc.
Yeah, it's what they're going to do. And especially a team that they're way more talented than in the Bulls. It's like, you don't even need to beat them that way. Like, you could beat them in other ways, but they're just so dug in. I guess you can credit them for being consistent. Because there was even a time in the fourth quarter where they were down six, and then when Brown hit the corner three, they were playing poorly. They were shooting a low percentage, but it pulled them to within three.
Yeah, I was right back in the game before all the technicals hit. Yeah,
I was like, they're gonna win.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought the same
they're
thing.
They're gonna win.
100% thought the same thing.
An ugly win, but you won the game. But no, like the Bulls like had another punch, and then you know Mazzulla lost his mind, and there were technicals everywhere, and giving them free points and things like that. But yeah, this goes back to the old in a 7-game series, though. How many teams in the NBA are equipped to outshoot the Celtics in 4 of those games?
Not the Bulls.
Could the Bulls
do it for a game?
Well, that's the beauty of it. Like, if this was a college basketball team, like, sure. You know, anything can happen. A one-off like this. Like, Celtics, in all good teams, when you look back at their schedule, they always have weird losses to really bad teams. Just the nature of the sport. But 4 times in a 7-game series still seems unlikely.
Look, I think last night timed out well. It's exactly what we were talking about for 2 straight days going into the game. Shot selection and how ridiculous the league is. And you get 108 three-point attempts on what was it again? I did the math. It's always dangerous when I do math. 108 three-point attempts on 191 field goals. 57% of the shot attempts last night were threes.
Whew.
Last night was exactly what we were talking about. Right down to the Celtics not understanding they needed to adjust in game.
Celtics play the Bulls tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you bet the house on the Celtics?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're gonna,
they last night? 14-point favorites or something like that?
Probably.
They'll probably be bigger favorites tomorrow. Well, maybe not. The game's in Chicago.
The game's in Chicago, and they are...
10?
It's not listed here.
9-10?
But, yeah, I would bet the house on them. Because like, the Bulls probably won't shoot as well. The Celtics are going to probably shoot lights out.
Here's what you do. You bet the house on them.
House.
Then you take those winnings. You roll it over on the Bozo touchdown.
Put it all on the Bozo?
Two house bets.
Wow.
I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Wow.
Marcus in Medford waiting patiently. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question is on the NFL here. Are they trying to piss the viewers off on purpose, or are they just that friggin' greedy pigs?
How so? You're complaining about streaming games?
It's the second thing.
What? Wild Card Saturday? You're depriving people of watching a playoff games now? Are you kidding me?
They don't care. Oh, so
they've been doing this for a couple of years now. What are you talking about? Wild Card Saturday? Yeah, they've been doing that.
So I don't know what is he talking about.
I think he's talking about streaming
a play. The college football games and
just
like
watch the college game if you want to watch college game.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about streaming a playoff game. It said there he was complaining about streaming.
Well, this week,
like the Peacock game last year with the Bills.
I was going to say that's not even new. They did that last year.
They did. And like they're just getting money from every streaming service possible. I mean, think about this. if you're like, what? Why are they doing this? It's money. It's always money. So they don't care. They're going up against the college football playoff. They're getting money from every streaming service. Not only do they not care about playing games and just overtaking Christmas Day from the NBA, which is that's their day, like Thanksgiving football, Christmas Thanksgiving or Christmas NBA.
Oops, yeah.
They don't care to the point where they're putting games on Wednesday. It's one thing when Christmas was on a Sunday. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you
going to
do?
Even a Saturday?
Tough luck, NBA.
Hey, sorry, late in the year, we do games on Saturday, Monday, whatever. Wednesday? Wednesday? That's like there's 2 days of the week they don't play football on.
Right.
And they're like, we'll do it.
Yeah, we're doing
it now. We're going to do a Wednesday game? Like, yeah. We're going to actually do two. We're going to put it on Netflix.
We're going to have a game in Brazil on a Friday to start the season. We're going to have Christmas Day, Wednesday football.
They're doing like two Monday night football games.
We're moving in on the college football playoff on Saturday.
Just like the Celtics are getting closer to Grinnell College, the NFL will have games every day of the week pretty soon. Every day of the week.
Again, would you rather have all games on one day or games every day?
One day.
Every day.
One day.
If I get one or the other, I want every day.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You say that now, you'd regret that.
You say that now. There'd be no Thursday. You wouldn't have had a game last night. You would have had to wait until Sunday for last night's
game. Night.
I liked last night's game.
Well, I mean, two great Bo Nix,
free kick, free kick field goal?
And you got a free kick field goal, which was sick.
You know Bill. Bill's so pissed that happened last night. You know Bill is like, I wanted to do that.
I'm also like, why don't you see that more?
Because it has to happen in a very specific situation where you're basically out of time. If it's an untimed down.
But I would just think that would happen. Teams aren't going to punt. They usually just kind of throw it away.
Well, if it's first down and you're at the 40, you're not just going to kick in most situations. You're going to be like,
but
no, we're going to go for
6 seconds or something, like rather than a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
would you rather kick like a 60 or even like 70-yarder so if on a free kick?
Okay,
although if you missed it from 57 yards,
yeah, you're, yeah, too much, too much field position. There you go. So the last time it was attempted, do you know who attempted it? It was in 2019.
Oh no,
the last one to attempt it, I believe, was Joey Sly for the Carolina Panthers.
There's a Joey Sly key coming up, and Keith's keys.
I can't wait. I have a feeling I know what it is.
You might not.
I have a feeling I have a good idea. By the way, as we discovered after the show yesterday, Bob Tewksbury. Not just the ultimate jock.
No.
Yeah. No,
he appeared as himself in the scout.
We didn't discover that. But no, I believe Joey Sly was the last one to attempt it in 2019. Harbaugh attempted it when he was with the Niners back in like 2013.
Nice. Was that Robbie Gold?
I think it was Phil Dawson.
Oh, Phil.
But
yeah,
it was like a 70-yarder. The last time it was made in a game was the 70s.
76.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So it comes up. It has to be.
So for those that don't know what we're talking about, so basically, the scenario is after a fair catch on a punt, you can kick it from there as a free kick. And so meaning there's no defense. Like the kicker has just like a free blast for a field goal. So last night at the end of the half, it ended up being a 57-yarder for Cameron the kicker Dicker.
That's probably your answer to if there's 6 seconds, that's why. Because there's no time left in the half, so you can't defend it. If there's 6 seconds left, you could probably defend it, right?
Well, no, but like, see how they're lined up. So they're showing it right now on Twitch.
Yeah.
So you are lined up, and they're like, they have a return guy there. So it's like, if he misses it, we can try to run it back.
Marvin Mims would run it back.
But like,
too.
You can't attempt to block it or anything. So it's a huge advantage to the kicker. You don't have to worry about a snap if the ball's already there waiting for you.
That's true.
Beautiful.
Joey Sly.
Nice.
Maybe the Patriots can do that. But you know, Bill is so pissed he wasn't the one to do it. Like, Bill's probably been. Bill's probably been tossing and turning, thinking of doing that in a game.
If they punt right now, we could free kick.
For 20 years.
Yeah. Mayo's like, wait, you can do that?
Yeah. Yeah. No chance Gerard Mayo knew about it. We should ask Covington about it.
Yeah, free kick.
What was up with that? What was up with that free kick last night?
What'd you think of the free kick?
He's like, huh?
They did what now?
They did, huh?
Guarantee you Dietrich Wise didn't see it. We had to tell him about everything last week.
There's no chance.
No way. That's fine. Like, some guys like to unplug. No, they don't follow the sport.
That's a good point. 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keith. We're going to get to the year in review. Coming up at 11:45, and we also have a four-pack of questions for the Patriots and the Bills.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keith. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937, a variety of topics. Diana Rossini says that Gerard Mayo needs to have a strong coaching performance.
Good luck.
I wouldn't hold my breath on.
No.
To save his job over these
final
3 games.
That's why they play the games, Jones.
That is why they play the games. Uh-huh. You're not wrong. Celtics last night, I feel like everything we were bitching about the last 2 days was on display.
Yeah.
Their poor shot selection, too many threes in the NBA, and they lose last night with Mazzulla getting ejected. You can jump in on that. You can also discuss the Red Sox, their latest signing. What's his name again?
Patrick Sandoval. Lefty coming off of Tommy John.
Good in the World Baseball Classic.
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
And could be ready for the second half.
Could be.
Ah.
Fingers crossed.
Like James Paxton many moons ago.
Liam Hendricks.
Yeah. We never saw Liam Hendricks.
I think
or
we did.
Paxton that year.
I think we saw Liam Hendricks last. Oh, the first year.
No, oh, no. We haven't seen him at all.
No, we've never seen Liam Hendricks.
Did we? He never pitched last year?
I don't believe so.
He just did a million interviews.
To, and we then interviewed they were him. Out of it.
So never mind. You guys had him on. Great guy.
Yeah, we talked to him. He's a fun
awesome
guy to talk
dude,
to.
Dude,
never pitched, huh?
No.
Nope.
Well, there you go.
No.
We'll see if this guy can break that trend.
Yeah.
But you can jump in on all of it. Plus the free kick from last night, real quick.
That's fun.
John's in the car on the free kick on Thursday Night Football. Go ahead, John.
Kick talk.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Yeah, from what I understood, there was a penalty, a defensive penalty at the end of the half with no time left. So they got...
You got an untimed down.
They got the extra rights, and then they get to decide how they want to deal with
yeah,
that.
So it was basically
free kick is one of those.
It was a fair catch interference.
Right,
and so I think it was all of that perfect scenario where they got the untimed down at the end of the half. But it was a fun little thing.
Because I bet originally when they punted, they're thinking, all right, they're not going to be in field goal range, yeah, even if they fair catch it. But then when you tag on the penalty,
you see Sean Payton after the game. Sean Payton's like, oh, yeah, we knew that. We practice that all the time.
Practice it all the time.
I'm like, come on, dude.
That seems like a waste of time.
Come on,
if you practice
dude.
That all the time.
Harbaugh clearly knew it because his team did it, and he tried it a decade ago when he was with the Niners.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Harbaugh knew it. You sure you knew it? And you practice it all the time?
Maybe.
Something tells me
it is his job.
We'll get to our. That's true. We'll get to our year in review. You think Mayo knows it? It's his job too.
I do not.
Something tells me Mayo doesn't know it.
I do
it.
Not.
We'll get to our year in review coming up about 20 minutes from now. So stay tuned for it. In the meantime, as we do every Friday, we have a four-pack of questions for the Patriots and the Bills. What's our first question, Billy?
All right, if you could take one player off the Bills and give it to the Patriots, who would it be?
Josh Allen.
I mean,
we love Drake May, but, I mean, that's the one guy. So let's play. What if we did not Josh Allen?
Okay.
Because he's, you know, maybe some people would have paused because you're like, ah, you got Drake May on his rookie deal. But like, no. Josh Allen is the guy. So after him, it's kind of funny because they're a great team and they're a Super Bowl favorite. they're not loaded with like obvious choices. I might go Greg Rousseau off their.
So that's a great pick.
Defensive line.
Ed Oliver.
Yeah, like one of their D linemen, like first round pick guys from a couple years ago. Rousseau's like 24 years old. He's young, so I'd probably go with him. But they're not loaded with like all pros.
No, and they've even lost like. Well, are they getting back Poyer? Why am I blanking on the other
Jordan
safety?
Poyer?
No, Poyer's gone, but the other one's coming
Micah
back.
Hyde?
He's like on their practice squad.
Yeah.
So like even their great safeties for a long time.
Those guys are
long gone.
Milano hasn't played a lot this year.
Yeah, I mean,
DeMar Hamlin is like one of their starting safeties.
Yeah, it's Allen. And we've
have we
taken another quarterback off a roster all year long? I'm not sure we have.
Probably not.
Before Drake May, yes.
The answer.
Oh, that's true.
Well, yeah, that's true.
When Brissett was starting,
we're picking him like every week, maybe.
Yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers for the Jets. I remember that one.
Burrow.
Yeah,
I didn't take Rodgers off.
No,
Jets. Maybe
Keith
he
definitely.
Yeah,
did. Yeah. I might have. I'd probably take Garrett Wilson after the thought.
But yeah, we haven't done this much. You hope Drake May is like a poor man's Josh Allen.
Correct.
That's
so
what
you
praying.
You have to take him, then you figure you can trade Drake May.
You
if you
are
got Josh
praying
Allen.
That yeah. Drake May is a poor man's Josh right. Allen, so you take Josh Allen, the real thing.
Yeah,
I think that one's pretty easy. It's a good question after that. I like Shakir a lot. Like, I think he'd be like a fun slot receiver here, but that's not like a guy you're knocking people over to go take.
No.
We talked about Amari Cooper when he got dealt earlier this year.
James Cook
is a nice back.
Do they have better tight ends? The Pats? Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox?
Maybe. Kincaid's good.
Yeah, but so is Hunter Henry.
Maybe.
Close, right?
If it's a tight end game, the Patriots might win.
But even like
if
the
it comes down to the tight ends this weekend, the Patriots probably that, still lose.
It once again goes to show you the very painfully obvious how the quarterback can change everything because their overall skill group on paper, not impressive.
No.
Like zero Pro Bowlers.
If you gave
James Cook's been good, but like.
If you gave Jacoby Brissett, I think May could get something out of that skill group.
Yeah.
But if you gave Jacoby Brissett that skill group, you're getting
nothing.
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 So we both take Josh Allen. That's pretty easy. What else we got, Billy?
What Bills jersey, past or present, would you want most?
What do you got?
Don Beebe?
Don Beebe?
I like Don Beebe.
I'd go Andre Reed.
Steve Tasker. Ooh, I like
Andre Reed was sick.
Alex Van Pelt mentioned Andre Reed yesterday.
Did he? Oh, maybe I'll go Alex Van Pelt. walking around with a Vid Pelt jersey?
But
Andre Reed was nasty.
Andre Reed was great.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer? I think he is in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Should he be?
Yeah. No?
I mean, I don't even have Moss in mind. Andre Reed didn't win anything.
7-time Pro Bowler right in a row.
Yeah.
Stats were a little different back then. He only had 4,000-yard receiving seasons.
That's not great.
But that was a different time.
It was. They were handing off to Thurman Thomas.
He played in 85 to 2000.
Yeah.
He had 13,000 career receiving yards.
None of us are taking Thurman Thomas. You know what I liked on the Bills very much more recent
Bryce
vintage?
Pop.
Bryce Pop, good one.
Nice player.
He'd get after the quarterback.
Daryl Talley.
Nice.
Dude, Daryl Talley, didn't he wear like the Spider-Man, like before Under Armour was even a thing?
Yeah.
He had
the
like
full
the sleeves that
yeah.
looked like Spider-Man. And I'm like, damn, that guy's good.
That was pretty sweet.
I think I was Daryl Talley.
I think you're sleeping on Don Beebe a little bit.
I am.
$6.99 one
fast
year.
Fast asleep. I'm having a good snooze.
You know what I liked? I like Fred Jackson when he was on Buffalo.
What about Mark Kelso? He wore like the extra helmet.
Yeah.
Remember?
He was only there a couple of years, but a Takeo Spikes one would be sick.
Oh, Takeo Spikes was a good
wasn't
one.
Wasn't he ripping the Bills recently for like,
probably.
They put me in a suite, like, and it was like a Fenway seat where you were like behind a beam. He's like, this is the suite they put me in. I
Nobody
played
had
for
a
this team.
Thicker neck than that guy.
Well,
I don't think a thicker neck?
Ted?
Ted Johnson.
That's a big neck.
Ted Johnson, Takeo Spikes doing the Spider-Man beam.
if you had a neck off, which I would not look up on a work
no,
computer.
No.
It extended like past the helmet.
It did. It was wider than his head.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I can't get my helmet on, coach. Why? It doesn't fit your head? No, my neck my neck won't let it in.
I don't think.
That was Takeo Spikes.
V-necks only. He can't wear a standard shirt.
No,
I don't think Ted's.
Couldn't get his neck through it.
Ted's neck doesn't go outside of his ears, does
it? When he played, that man had a neck.
He also played at a time where the shoulder pads were 5 times the size that they are now. So it just was like, this is like Jack guy. Had to walk sideways through doors.
Imagine having those shoulder pads like Brian Cox and then like an ironing board on top of it.
Let me tell you though, Fred Jackson I liked a lot. Only 1,000 yard season
Jackson?
For Buffalo. Nice player.
Yeah. Who else we missing here?
Bruce Smith. We didn't mention him.
Yeah.
How'd we miss that?
Bledsoe.
Bledsoe. I said Peerless Price yesterday. Yeah, no Jim Kelly. No. I mentioned Thurman Thomas. No love for that.
No J.P. Lossman.
J.P. Lossman. I like Fitzpatrick when he was there for a stretch.
Willis McGahee, Marshawn Lynch, before Lynch got good.
Oh, yeah, that's where Marshawn Lynch was drafted.
Yeah.
Good call.
It was weird. It didn't work out there. And then he was like nasty after
he
left.
Well, he was good there, but it didn't.
I don't think he was.
Was he not?
He was good against the Patriots 1 year. I remember that vividly.
Get out of my face. He wasn't good there?
1,000 yards.
Yeah, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and then they traded him.
Yeah, but look what he did in Seattle.
Well, yeah. He got better. Well, yeah, we had 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's good.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, good player.
Right.
Okay, what else, Billy?
Will the Bills win the Super Bowl this year?
No.
I'm also a no.
They got Buzzard's luck.
It pains me to say it.
They got Buzzard's luck. I still don't think I could take them over the Chiefs, and the way it's going right now, the game would be in Kansas City. And then I think whoever is remaining between Detroit and Philly, depending on like how that road goes, I might take them too. And it's a lot of what we were just talking about. Josh Allen is incredible. He is the MVP of the league. After that, like you're looking up and down, you're like, man, like they're a good team, but I'm not really entirely sure why. I don't love Sean McDermott. So I think Allen can get him to the conference championship once again. But right now, I think I'll pick somebody else.
So who would you pick?
Right now, Chiefs.
Yeah. I want to say Lions, but they...
So do I, but they just lost injuries.
Well, they just lost to Buffalo. Like, how am I going to sit here and tell you the Lions when they just lost to Buffalo?
Well, yeah, there's that too, but they're also not
they're
full
banged
strength.
Up.
If they had Aiden Hutchinson and David Montgomery and some of the other guys on defense that they lost, yeah, sure, but...
Right. This is not... I don't need to pick a team. This is really Bills or the field.
No.
Are they winning or is someone else winning? I would also take the field. I would. I would love to pick the Bills. It'd be fun to watch them win it, but I don't have a great feeling about them. All right, Billy, what's our last one?
First thoughts when you hear Buffalo Bills.
Okay, it's got to be their crazy fans.
Bills Mafia?
That's what I think of. Bills Mafia jumping through tables.
It's still, to me,
throwing...
throwing what? Marital devices?
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throwing those onto the field in Buffalo. Their Zubaz pants. That's what I'm thinking of. The Bills Mafia.
I still think of... I mean... Four straight Super Bowl losses.
Losing them in a row.
They're like, anytime a team gets there and loses, like the New England Revolution
would
get to the... Seriously.
They're just like
them. They're like, oh, like the Bills. Like when people immediately compare you to the team that did that. People try to make the Braves of the 90s like that. You're like, no, they won one. So they're not like the Bills.
No.
Like that's just so insane to make four consecutive Super Bowls and lose them all. And you had a close game in there, but for the most part, you're getting pantsed.
Thurman Thomas losing his helmet.
Didn't check into the game on time. Didn't start the game because he lost his helmet.
Can't even find his helmet.
Not sure you guys were ready to go.
Speaking of guys hustling around the field, Don Beebe was chasing down Leon Lett in one of those Super Bowls. They're down like 40 points.
What a loser play, though.
I feel Don Beebe was constantly falling on the top of his head.
Hang on. Loser play by Don Beebe?
Yes.
No, loser play by Leon Lett.
Dude, game's over.
That's why you didn't like my Don Beebe.
I didn't like
that pick.
No, but that was a weird Super Bowl.
That guy was hustling his nuts off.
I didn't root for either team because you had the loser kids at school that were like Cowboys fans, and you're like, you're not a Cowboy fan. And then you're like, I don't like the Bills either.
And you got that Super Bowl.
Smoked the Pats.
You got that Super Bowl 2 years in a row.
No, I know. And I didn't like either team. It was a weird one to be in.
What were those scores?
One of them was legit like 56-14.
It was like,
or something like that.
52-14, something like that.
Yeah, it was a beatdown.
As I effort those scores.
I think it's the four Super Bowls. There's also just the run. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I was just
saying. Oh, Lauren Molloy.
Popular Bills players. Noah mentioned Lauren Molloy.
Good one.
Not very popular as that was playing out in real time here.
No, that was frustrating.
Yeah. Okay, ready? Cowboys Bills were 52-17 and then 30-13. That was closer.
30-13 is still not that close.
I thought it was a bigger beatdown than that.
No, one of them was just. And they smoked him. The Giants one, obviously, was the closest one. The Scott Norwood miss.
That was the beginning, though, right? And then you had the Washington one in the middle. Yeah. That was the beginning of the Super Bowl really not being competitive for most of our childhood.
No, and then the Rams Titans kind of changed the game on us.
Yeah.
Came down to the last yard, and then every game the Patriots was in.
Yeah.
They helped it.
Yeah,
they only played good games.
Not many blowouts there. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Jones and Keefe, and we'll get to our year in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel them out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, we'll do you one better. How about a year in review?
Wow.
And by year in review, I mean last week of August on. That's when this show started.
Fall in review.
Fall in review.
Fall plus 2 weeks.
Fall and a little bit of winter.
Yeah,
I know it's not. Is it technically winter today or tomorrow? What's the first day of winter?
21 is the solstice, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's tomorrow.
Shortest day
of the year tomorrow.
Okay.
I believe.
Well, a little snow out there right now. So here are some of the best moments from the program. And this starts with a Kiefer Madness story that unfortunately we have not gotten a lot of updates on. But let's introduce you to the porch pooper.
You probably heard of porch pirates, but what about porch poopers? Don't know any other way to say it. Right now, LMPD is looking for a man who has been using the bathroom on Louisville homeowner's porch all week long. Ward Jolish tracked down the homeowner and spoke with him about being targeted by a porch pooper. Listen, a warning. While we won't show you everything, we won't show you everything.
Okay.
Some may be grossed out by this video.
Most should be.
It all started with this. Sunday night, a young man in a red shirt walks up to one Louisville home well after midnight and begins peering inside. The homeowners have no clue. After a few seconds, the man runs away in his socks and disappears into the night. But the next night, he returns and leaves a horrific surprise.
Tuesday morning, I went up to my front porch and noticed this, what I thought was a cat poop.
Nope. The homeowner, who wishes to remain anonymous but who we'll refer to as Jim, then checked his doorbell camera and realized it was no cat at all.
And it turned out to be a person. And not only did he defecate, but he also urinated on our welcome
mat. Oh, what's even more disturbing is that the man returned a third time the very next night. Jim got an alert on his phone and tried to confront him, but the man was already gone.
You have no idea who this guy is or why he's doing this.
I have no idea. We're good neighbors. We, you know, keep to ourselves. We behave ourselves, and I can't imagine that somebody would want to do some kind of retribution.
Jim has now filed 3 police reports for each night his home has been targeted, but so far, no arrest. Just a big mess he's now forced to clean up.
I'm relieved that he's not violent or he's not trying to force entry.
He's relieved. Yeah.
He's just doing his deed, but it's very disconcerting and disturbing.
In Louisville, Ward Jolis, Wave News.
He's like, my name is James, but please don't say that on the news. Okay, we'll call you Jim.
Okay, Jim.
We're going to call the man Jim.
Jimbo.
Wouldn't it just be John Doe? Like, no, it's Jim. Jim's fine.
What a story.
Like, yeah, porch pooper. That had everything.
And I remember
how good that one was.
No, me too. I remember the porch pooper. I remember that. I did not remember how good the news report was.
It was very detailed.
I didn't remember that.
Thought it was a cat poop. Wasn't.
I like the anchor being like, some people are going to be grossed out.
Warning! This could be considered gross.
We're not going to show you everything.
It's for sure gross.
Somewhere somebody's like, damn.
Yeah, the first lady?
No,
we're not going to show you everything.
Yeah. Somebody's like, oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. They got nothing on the news anymore that I want to see. Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, when you mentioned the cats and stuff, do you know what my dog was eating yesterday?
Cat scat.
No, a rabbit.
Oh.
Yeah, I looked outside.
That's odd transition. But yeah.
He's eating a bunny.
Speaking of cats, my dog was eating a rabbit.
So I was looking out woodland critters that are in my backyard. We have like a long history of this. So I'm staring outside, and he's doing the thing where it looks like he's like his head's going up and down. Yeah. You're like, he's not just sniffing.
He's into something. Yeah.
So I'm like, great. So I got to go out there. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like all excited. He's like flying around the backyard. And I'm like, what is it? Rabbit foot.
Oh, boy.
Gnawing on a rabbit foot. Oh. So now it's only a matter of time until he gets worms.
Yeah,
that's
probably
happened before.
Oh, that,
I think what happens
that
is
happened before.
Yeah, you got worms. That's what we're gonna call it. I got worms. They said worms once. Consider him lucky.
Yeah,
you know he's got a nice big backyard. He can go around. There's all kinds of nonsense out there. And so one time, I think what must have happened was these hawks come down and like eat these rabbits.
We'll drop something in.
They like to eat the brains. They leave like carcass sometimes.
It was like the fish at the old radio station. 100%. It was like
100%.
Yeah, I told you about that.
So I look out there, like, what the hell is that? The little furry bunny foot. And he just gnawing on it. I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. Throw it over to the fence into the neighbor's yard. What? What are you laughing at?
So he said a worm infested porch poop would be real
who
tough.
Knows?
Yeah.
But that's what I was saying. Like, how do they not have this guy in cuffs within the hour?
He's still at large.
There is a tremendous amount of DNA left on the scene. I don't know how you don't have this guy in cuffs.
That's not a great criminal, or is he?
Yeah, maybe he is.
Or is he? So the porch pooper's still alive.
Let's play one more.
Yeah.
We'll do more next hour as well. This was a great game of ours. Who said it? Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla or a real-life serial killer?
Wow.
All right, quote number two. The word defend is a very passive-aggressive term. You go back to the animal kingdom. Some of the strongest animals don't defend. They're the most aggressive, and they attack the most. End quote.
Ooh, serial killer.
No, sorry, that was head coach Joe Mazzulla. Next quote. We're all villains in someone's eyes.
Serial killer.
No, sorry, that was head coach and NBA champion Joe Mazzulla.
We're all villains in someone's eyes.
Yep. If the Blue Meanies are going to get me, they'd better get off their asses and do something.
Joe Mazzulla.
Sorry, that would be the Zodiac Killer. That was the Zodiac Killer said that.
The Blue Meanies. That was Joe Mazzulla famously about the New York Knicks.
Here we go. Quote, when this monster entered my brain, I will never know, but it is here to stay. How does one cure himself? I can't stop it. The monster goes on and hurts me as well as society. Maybe you can stop him. I can't.
Serial killer.
Whoa! Way to go. That was Dennis Rader, the BTK.
What does that stand for?
Bind, torture, kill.
Oh, boy.
This is winner-take-all spot in the Jones and Keefe Ring of Honor. Quote, oh, in this hole lives the wicked king.
Joe Mazzulla.
Oh! No, sadly, Al, that was the son of Sam, David Berkowitz. Hey, great stuff, Al. I think you are the winner. Okay. You got the most right.
That was good. We actually brought that game back, and we tweaked it on Halloween. We did Joe Mazzulla or a horror villain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it went just as well.
Yeah, it did.
It was a good time.
I just like that in this hole lives the Blue Meanie. Somebody,
Blue Meanie. Mazzulla?
I thought that was Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, but after last night,
no, it's, like, it's all in play.
They're all Mazzulla. They're all Mazzullas. The guy is fantastic.
Yeah, we might have to bring back another round of that game.
I think so. More of these quotes are going to be piling up, so we'll be good.
Maybe a Who Said It with Mayo maybe is one we should do as well. We could work that in. If you missed the Mayo Holiday album earlier today, it wasn't quite year-in-review worthy yet. Not yet.
No.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, there was that. We'll play that for you again next hour. Mayo did speak to the media today. He's coaching for his job. Which I think most of us probably could assume. Diana Rossini reported last week he's safe. Today, not so much. So we'll get to all of that coming up next.